It's Here and Now on KJZZ. I'm Mark Brody in Phoenix.
Hi, I'm Joaquin Ruiz, Dean of the College of Science, and I welcome you to the University of Arizona.
Northern Arizona University has some outstanding graduate students in biology.
I direct the biomechatronics lab here at ASU.
Sustainable engineering is an excellent skill for any engineer to have.
This is the age of science. The opportunities are enormous.
Science, technology, engineering, and math, the so-called STEM fields, are often considered the future, not just in Arizona, but in a lot of communities across the country. And the Arizona SciTech Festival hopes to get residents here excited about them. Joining me now to talk about this year's events is Jeremy Babender, Executive Director of the Arizona SciTech Festival. Also here is Darcy Renfro, the Director of the Arizona STEM Network at Science Foundation Arizona. Welcome to you both.
Good morning.
Thanks for having me here.
So, Jeremy, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about the festival. What's it about, and what would visitors see?
So it's a two-month festival. There's about 500 events that are happening around the state. And so you could have anywhere from an event at a university or a school to events that might happen at a local chocolate affair festival to the Renaissance Fair. But really the idea is kind of like almost an Earth Day for science, to integrate science and technology throughout the state of Arizona.
And what kinds of events do you have? I mean, are we talking like dropping things off buildings? Are we talking about like the marshmallow kid with the gun that President Obama talked about?
Right. So one example is like the city of Chandler has a three-day mini festival as part of the SciTech Festival called the Chandler Science Spectacular. So they kick it off. They have a tech crawl. And so they have four companies that are open for people to see what are they doing. So Intel is open. They have Infusionsoft, I believe, is going to be open this year. They have their Innovations Incubator. And so, for example, if you go into the incubator, a lot of people may not even know what is an incubator to begin with. So you go in, you might see some of the bioscience companies showing off microscopes or gel electrophoresis. You might go in and see somebody testing a UAV in one of their facilities. You could hop over to Intel and see some of the robots and electronics they do. They have a great showcase facility. And so that's a great thing to kick it off. The second event they have is called the Night of Art and Science. And so they really find a way to get the artists to talk to the science and art of what they do. So you might have a glass blower talking about the science of glass, or the winery or brewery talking about the science of beer and wine. But really to show what we kind of almost talk about, sneaky science, about ways to get people to see science and what they do.
Darcy, how is Arizona doing in terms of STEM education in general?
Well, it's a good news, bad news story right now. On the bad news side, we're still trailing behind in most states across the country in terms of math and science achievement, both in our elementary grades, our middle grades, and high school. The good news is we're trending in the right direction. We are making progress with math scores and science scores, and we're also seeing more and more districts and schools taking on STEM education as a priority issue. We have grant programs with 19 schools across the state where they're embedding STEM education in the fabric of the school on a day-to-day, connecting with community, connecting with business, and there are more and more of those popping up all over the place. So STEM has become becoming more and more part of the culture, and I think as we see more of that happening and as we look at the new state standards, they become implemented, we're going to see those achievement levels just continue to climb.
Yeah, I'm curious about how the implementation of the standards formerly known as Common Core will affect what students are learning.
It's going to affect them in a couple ways. One is they're going to be asked, their higher expectations are being set for kids. So they're going to have to learn at higher levels in math and language arts. The really big difference that I think is the most important thing and is very consistent with what we call STEM is the real world applications of what they're learning. They have to understand what algebra is and where it's used in the real world. And that's a big difference. Instead of a teacher standing in front of a room and lecturing and memorizing concepts, they have to use those concepts and do something with it, with projects and modeling. And so a better understanding of how these things work in our world, I think, will get not only help kids understand and learn better, but they're going to get more interested and excited about science engineering.
Jeremy, why does it matter for Arizona or any state really to be doing well in these STEM fields?
I mean, the key thing is you want a qualified workforce. And so if a company's looking to come to, you know, Chandler, they want to be known as an innovative community. So the idea is, you know, if we can really start to get the community to understand what the future potential is. So let's say somebody wants to is really excited about in hockey, and they're a hockey player right now, and they say, hey, I want to be a coach, I want to be a player. But really, part of the conversation should be, hey, maybe I want to make the next innovative skate design, or make the new material for the jerseys. But those are things that we can actually do and innovate in Arizona. But it's really getting a culture to really recognize the importance of why they'd want to do it. It's really that motivation and interest to really support what's going on in the schools.
Darcy mentioned that, you know, we've sort of been not in the best shape as far as how we're doing in STEM fields in the past. Has that hurt us, do either of you think, in terms of attracting companies here, retaining companies here?
Yes. Companies say all the time when they're looking to locate, they look at the education in a particular state and the achievement levels. They're looking for good schools for their employees, for their families, and they want to be in centers of innovation. Again, you know, good news, bad news here. Arizona has some great innovation centers, and I think what Jeremy's doing is highlighting those. But if you look at our universities in Arizona, we have some outstanding work happening, and they are centers of innovation. So we need to just expand that reach, and we need to bring it down to the K-12 level as well, and we need to start seeing those achievement levels increasing, so there's a level of confidence for businesses and employees to come to Arizona and know that their kids are going to get a good education.
Is there an intimidation factor when you're talking about some of these fields? I mean, a lot of people look at science like, ooh, I don't get that. It doesn't make sense to me. Physics, I don't really know what that's all about. I mean, do you really have to sort of draw people into it?
I think it's that's where we like this idea of like the sneaky science. You know, you have. I kind of see it as a progression. You get people to really get hooked on what they're interested in. And so one of the events that happens is in Scottsdale. It's a spring training festival. And so we have a way to talk about the science and physics of baseball. And so people that will come to the event wouldn't expect that you'd learn about how the ball curves or you know, if you can actually dispel a myth about the weighted bat. But they get hooked on it, and they see the importance of, well, maybe statistics is something that I want to do because it helps me learn more about what I want. And I think that's a part of it, is really progressing people based upon their motivations than anything.
Yeah, Jeremy's absolutely right. But there's another component as well, and I think helping students and parents understand what opportunities are out there, so getting them interested, grabbing them, but also helping them understand how how math and science really can help them in their over their lifetime in careers and so forth. So connecting businesses to education is really important, and making that meaningful. People don't understand that you can be an engineer and work for the Red Cross, for example. You don't have to work at Intel necessarily. And we know that kids, when they draw pictures of scientists, they draw pictures of a balding old man with glasses and a lab coat. And, you know, that's just not what it is anymore. Science is everywhere, and engineering is everywhere. So being able to kind of bring those real-world experiences into classrooms across the state is also something we need to focus on very much.
Well, and that raises the question of qualified teachers, and do we have enough qualified teachers who, A, know the subject matter well enough, and B, are able to make these subjects relevant to their students?
There's a lot of information out there about levels of teachers and whether they have math and science as a major going into teaching, and the reality is most of them don't. They're not experts in the field. But I'd say that with STEM, we do need to do better in increasing the number of teachers that are graduating in those areas. We looked at some data from 2012, and across the state, we produced all institutions, public and private, only 8 physics teachers. That's clearly not enough. But so you have to look at the production and how many people were recruiting to go into teaching, and then you look at the existing teacher field and helping them, make it easier for them to teach these subjects. One thing we see all the time, with particularly in the elementary grades, teachers have to get comfortable with the idea that they don't know the answer to everything. So when you're doing real STEM, if you're doing project-based hands-on learning, kids are going to come up with questions, and teachers may not have the answer, and that's okay. That's part of how the world works. You discover things, you go through trial and error. That's part of the process of real life. So teachers getting comfortable with that. And again, I think the new standards are moving teachers in that direction. They're going to need to be doing more and more of that.
I would think that teaching a STEM class would perhaps be slightly more expensive than teaching a regular class. I think about science labs. When I was in school, science labs had all sorts of equipment and materials that you needed to be doing your experiments on. Do schools in general have the money to be teaching these courses effectively and efficiently?
I would say some do and most don't. We did a survey. Science Foundation Arizona did a survey recently of all of the 13 counties outside of Maricopa and Pima County. And we asked teachers and administrators, what do they need? And the number one thing was equipment. So there is definitely a shortage in their availability of equipment. So knowing that information, we're now starting to direct resources into those communities to buy that equipment. But we also see in other examples where you can do exciting things with limited resources, and you can bring STEM, science and math, to life using washers and different things. And I think, Jeremy, the SciTech Festival is a good way to showcase how you can take something that exists and point out the math and science in it and make it interesting for kids as well.
Hey, Jeremy, you've been talking about sort of the sneaky science, sort of almost like sneaking vegetables into an apple pie or something that the kids really want to eat. How much of what you're trying to do is show kids and their parents probably as well that you don't just have to wait for school to do some of the stuff. You can do experiments at home. You can look for science in your backyard, things like
right.
that.
We see the long-term solution as more of a societal, it's a societal challenge. You know, it's not just about the kid. It's about them coming with the parents. Or maybe they're seeing their uncle, you know, take them to that baseball event. Or maybe there's a couple going on a date as, 22-year-old, adults go into a science of wine, but it just becomes part of a natural culture. And I think kind of the comparison might be, what might have the times been like when Sputnik was launched? And was it a cool thing to be a rocket scientist? And I know a lot of people that I work with wanted to become rocket scientists because of that era. And so I think a part of it is getting a culture where people really want to embrace being a STEM professional. And a lot of it might be compared to, we're not having a hard time getting kids excited about being sports stars. And it's not something that you have to have a certain teacher try to inspire them to do that. The culture does it for us. And so similarly, we want to really get science and technology to be something that's really fun for everybody. And so that's kind of this idea of really having interventions targeted to culture, and then having the complementary opportunity to really not make school something you have to be in, but you really want to be there to learn more about your interests.
It seems like that's kind of an easier said than done kind of proposition, though.
It's hard to know until you start doing it, but we have actually seen some progression. So for example, there's a school that we work with out in Avondale, Sentara Mirage. First year they had a science fair. The next year they did something called a science cafe. And so they started an after school opportunity where they pulled in what the kids wanted to hear about. They came with the families. They learned about that. And then they actually piloted being a STEM school based upon the interest of the school. And so you really saw this kind of interaction between informal and traditional learning to really progress that community. And so I think there are opportunities, but it really takes everybody to get involved. And I think that's an advantage of the SciTech Festival. It helps to bring in new partnerships.
Yeah. In that good news piece I was talking about with regard to the state of STEM, we do see communities and schools all over the state that have an interest and want more STEM. Parents are demanding it. Schools see it as a competitive advantage. And they know that engaging kids is a winner for everybody. So what the STEM Network has been able to do is bring together government, philanthropy, business to address this problem in a collaborative way. So bringing attention to the issue of STEM and then helping make it easier for educators to find resources, helping it make it easier for businesses to engage with education, and making it easier for philanthropy and funders to see impacts of their investments. And the SciTech Festival is a great example of how this STEM conversation that's been started in Arizona is really, really branching out and really, really taking off. So I think we're going to see an acceleration of that even more so and more rapidly in the next coming years.
Darcy Renfro is the director of the Arizona STEM Network at Science Foundation Arizona. We are also joined by Jeremy Babender, the executive director of the Arizona SciTech Festival. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.